Good evening. First of all, thank all you guys for coming out this evening. It's a great encouragement to everybody here, but especially to me and Brady. This is our first time, kind of nervous, but and also to the elders for allowing all the young guys to be able to come up here and be able to talk to you all. It's really enriching and fulfilling. I was really pondering over what I should do my short little lesson over, and it really came to me that I should do something that I had problems with and I know is very not really frowned upon in the world. It's very prevalent. People don't seem to have problems with it, and that would be lying. And while the world believes it is acceptable, well, it's only a little white lie. It couldn't possibly hurt anything. Couldn't hurt anybody. You know, like, if you're out eating at somebody's house and they offer you a dessert, well, do you like the dessert? In all honesty, you don't like it. It's not very tasty. But you don't want to be mean. You don't want to be rude. So, yeah, I like the dessert. Couldn't possibly hurt anything. Well, sometimes I need to less to succeed. You know, business, trying to climb the ladder, could easily shift the blame onto somebody else so you get the promotion, the other person doesn't. Keep going in business. Most people in the world just believe that it's no big deal. It doesn't matter if you lie. It couldn't hurt too much. Well, how it affects those people who are lied to? Trust is broken. They can't take anything you say anymore at the face value that they once could. They have to question everything you say. Well, is he telling the truth this time? Will he tell it next time? There's just no way to know. You could also put people in harm's way. If you would turn to 1 Kings 13, 11 through 31, a little lengthy. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And they told to their father the words they had spoken to their king. And their father said to them, "Which way did he go?" And his son showed him in the way the man God who came from Judah had gone. And he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judea?" And he said, "I am." Then he said to them, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, 'You shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came.'" And he said to him, "I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'Bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.' But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who had come from Judah, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept your commandment that the Lord your God commanded you, but you have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he has said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers.' And after he had eaten bread and drunk, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown into the road, and the donkey stood beside it, and the lion also stood beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the body. And they came out, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. And the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard of it. He said, 'It is the man of God who disobeyed the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has given him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word that the Lord spoke to him.' And he said to his son, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' And they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown in the road, and the donkey and the lion standing beside the body. The lion had not eaten the body, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it in the donkey and brought it back to the city to mourn and bury him. And he laid the body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, 'Alas, my brother.' And after he had buried him, he said to his sons, 'When I die, bury me in the grave which the man of God has buried. Lay my bones beside his bones.'" The young prophet would never have died had the old prophet not lied to him. Granted, he was given his own command not to stay and eat, but he believed the older man to be telling the truth, so he had stayed, and it, in the end, cost him his life. But there's also how a liar is affected. They slowly lose their consciousness of what they're doing. Over time, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's just another lie added to the list. It doesn't affect me anymore. I don't care. It becomes a second nature to them. This causes loss of friendships, close ties, family members. The people that could once trust you can no longer trust you anymore for what you say. So you don't have them anymore. You don't have their trust. But most importantly, it also puts your soul into the danger of hellfire. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So whatever you do, your sins will determine where you go after you die, and lying definitely becomes habitual and is not a good thing to fall into. And what the Bible has to say, there's no such thing as a white lie. All lies are the same. And we would turn to Acts 5, 1 through 11. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. The young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter said to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down on his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in and found her dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all those who heard these things. So again, we see another example of why lying is bad. He didn't have to give all of the money to Peter. It was not wrong for him to sell his land and keep some for himself, but he shouldn't have told Peter that he was giving it all. That was the part that was not right. And that was an example. And if you would turn to Mark 7, 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And that verse just directly condemns lying, as it says, deceit directly defiles you. And also in Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. All liars will eventually go to hell. So lying is a very bad thing, and it needs to be fixed as soon as possible so that it doesn't become habitual. It's not second nature, so that it's not a problem. You should not do it at all in general at first, but if you do, you need to stop it before it becomes such a serious problem that it costs you your soul. Thank you.
Good evening. It's an honor to be able to speak to you this evening and be able to preach God's word to you. Tonight, I would like to talk to you all about forgiveness. Now, in the secular sense, forgiveness is defined as giving up resentment of or to grant relief of payment. But in the spiritual sense, it means remission of punishment due to sinful conduct. And while men may be able to forgive each other of acts on earth, only God can forgive spiritually. Now, we all need spiritual forgiveness because of one thing. We all have sinned. Romans 3:23 states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Now we obtain forgiveness because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. If you would all please turn to Romans 5, 6 through 11. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God has given us the ability to have forgiveness for our sins, but in order to do so, there are commands that we are ordered to follow in order to achieve it. First, we must hear the word that God has given to us. Romans 10:17 states, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." We must also repent of sins committed in the past. Luke 13:3, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Because, Romans 10:9-10, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Finally, after all the other steps, in order to be truly obtain forgiveness, we must then be baptized. Mark 16:16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." But forgiveness does not stop there. In order to maintain this forgiveness, we must make sure that we continue following the Lord and enduring despite hardships. Revelations 2:10, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." God will forgive our sins if we do what he has commanded us. Jeremiah 31:34, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." By following God's commands, we can have forgiveness for the sins that we have committed and escape spiritual death. Thank you.
What you heard this evening from the two young men, did an excellent job, is the future of the church. That's the church, obviously right now and in the future. You will have men that are going to be passing on. There's a lot of men who have been certainly my mentors that are graying and getting older as time moves forward, and they are going to be leaving us and going to their future home with our Father. And so men like these two men who stood up here before us are going to be those who are going to be taking their places and my place and such. And we appreciate their efforts and we appreciate their faith more than anything. We need to remember the song that we just sang. It's a relatively new one for me. I have not sung it much, but Home of the Soul. It sang of heaven. And the two lessons that these men just brought us are two lessons that are imperative for us to understand, for us to be able to go to the place we just sang about. Standing before us, or standing in between us and heaven, is sin. And Tommy brought us a lesson about lying, but let's just think about sin in general. And he made some really good points. It's acceptable to sin in our culture. We are getting further and further away from the truth. We are getting further and further awry from what's honorable and what's virtuous and what's moral. And Carl's lesson this morning, another younger man, brought us a fantastic lesson in regards to the kind of behavior that we must have after we have become Christians. We have got to be dedicated spiritual beings. And it's imperative for us to clear sin out of our lives. And as it becomes more and more acceptable, it will become easier and easier for it to be part of our lives. And we have got to do everything we possibly can to get it out. He made the statement about consequences. There are consequences to sin, to those that we sin against and for us that commit them. There's an old-timey saying that sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, cost you more than you were willing to pay, And I've always added in, and you don't go down alone. And we've got to understand the disastrous outcome of that kind of behavior, not only to us, but to those around us. It's bad enough for us and our souls to burn in hell, but it's unfathomable to think that we have caused others to go there too. And we've got to do whatever it is in our lives to pull it out and to clean ourselves up. The Bible teaching is clear online, but it's clear on many of the other sins that people are engaged in. We've got to work on ourselves to be more pure before the Lord. Paul told Timothy to keep yourself pure, and let's work on that. And then Brady brings up the most wonderful idea and the most wonderful concept that we've got is forgiveness, and walked us through the biblical plan for salvation and how wonderful it is for us to have the opportunity to be able to go to our Lord, to be able to become his child, to become a brother of brethren, but also a child of God through obedience to the gospel, to have that blessed, blessed hope of eternal life in heaven, for us to be able to have forgiveness. And I thought of a passage that kind of blended both of these thoughts together in 1 John chapter 1. And let me just start in the context. Let's just start in verse 5, 1 John chapter 1. It says, "For this is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you, that God is light, in him there is no darkness. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us." The fact of the matter is that we all have sin. We all need the forgiveness. And at this time, we are now offering an invitation for those who may need that wonderful forgiveness. If you are not a Christian, we beg of you to think about your spiritual condition. Brady walked us through hearing the word and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing that he is the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism, and living faithfully unto death. If you have not done that, we beg of you, implore you to do that and follow the New Testament pattern of becoming a child of Christ so that you would have the wonderful forgiveness. If you're a member of the church and you've done that, but you've fallen away, and you have become unfaithful, we ask of you to think about your situation before the Lord this evening. Before we leave here, make things right. If it is of a public nature, whatever spiritual need you have, we ask you to think about it and take action on it as we stand and sing our invitation song.